Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. And on a regular basis, this is where we're going to be between 5 and 7 on Saturday evenings. And we hope that you'll stick around. If you have a question about your computer, about your digital device that you'd like to ask, this is the place to be. The door is open and it's toll-free from anywhere that you're listening to our voice. 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Welcome. It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and that is your hour. I'm talking about you folks who are the listeners to our program, who have been with us for, some of you for almost all of the 20 years that we've been on the air. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson in studio here, ready to answer your questions. And the only question that's a dumb question is the one you don't ask. So please don't feel like, my question's not, it's pretty simple. That's quite all right, because there are people out there who have that same simple question.
Oh, I had some people that one of my wife's friends called me today. She has no problem calling me at all the time. Actually, she hasn't called me in 4 months, so that's she's pretty good. But she's probably in her 80s, and she goes, Ed, don't even bother. Just fix it. Don't tell me. I'm not going to remember. Just, write it down if you want, and I'll put it with my notes. Because I'm 80 years old. I'm not going to remember that stuff.
And it was a pretty simple request, wasn't it, about the keyboard?
The keyboard stopped working, She changed the batteries in her Microsoft keyboard. Remember, Microsoft did used to make other hardware devices other than the Surface. And that was the joke in the past, is that, does Microsoft make any hardware besides software? Yeah, they make a mouse and a keyboard. That's really all they make.
That was really all they did at that
time. Now they make the Xbox and they make the Surface.
The Surface as well, As a matter of fact, a pretty good product.
Excellent product.
An excellent product from what a lot of people have to say.
And the keyboard must be 15 years old and it's still kicking.
I know. That's amazing.
Does Microsoft actually do make those products? I mean, they design them, they have manufacturing facilities and that sort of thing, or is it just something that they just kind of give guidelines to and then order it?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know either. Most of the companies don't make their own components. They buy components and assemble them, and I would guess Microsoft at least does that part. Maybe they assemble them, and maybe they don't even do that. I'm not really sure.
That's a
very good question.
I did tear apart a keyboard one time, and it actually had Microsoft etched into the circuit board.
Wow.
Like an Apple.
Yeah.
When you look at, doesn't, well, they make their own circuit boards for the most part, right?
They create the specifications in California, make the prototypes, and then like everybody else, they ship them over to China and have, built in mass quantities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they actually have like a tie-in to the manufacturing as opposed to, I didn't know whether Microsoft actually does have a tie-in manufacturing.
Well, I'm sure they do, but whether they actually are the company that manufactures, not sure. They certainly will take and do quality control checks and things like that, because they've said they've done that. But again, I don't know about that.
And that's a good point. Speaking of quality control checks, did you hear to the extent that Samsung has gone to guarantee that their Samsung 7 phones are going to be hit the market with
fireproof.
Or was it the 8? Samsung 8.
I think it's the 8. The 7's already out.
They're actually
burning.
Running these things for 24 hours, have temperature monitors on every phone device, 10,000 devices every 24 hours.
Well, and there's a perfect case of Samsung doesn't make their own batteries. They buy the batteries, and it wasn't Samsung. It was their supplier for the batteries that was the problem.
Right, and they take x-rays of the batteries, spot check. Mm-hmm. The initial first 10 or 20,000, they x-ray them all, and then for future, they'll do spot checks, because when you take an x-ray of the batteries, if there's any type of metal in there, and that's what causes the contamination and what causes them to overheat, is metal, microscopic metal flakes within the lithium ion substrates and stuff like that, and causes them to overheat because they charge too fast or discharge too fast, and they explode. So by taking an x-ray of the batteries, you ever have a nail in your finger, and you ever have an x-ray take? Oh, you've never done that. I've had a nail. So it shows up as a big bright spot on the x-ray.
Wow. Yeah. So everybody out there, you can call in about not only PC and Windows questions, you can now call in about Mac and Mac-related questions, because Cal is done fixing my iPhone. So I just he's now available to answer questions. There is some benefit of doing this show, I will tell you.
we have abused that privilege for a long time. Let's say hello to Leslie. Leslie, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I don't have my laptop in front of me. I happened to get in the car and you guys were on, so
good.
I gave you a quick call. I have a new laptop,
mm-hmm.
and it has Windows 10 on it.
Okay.
I've only downloaded Facebook, and it keeps giving me messages that I am running low on storage.
Oh, dear.
And asking me if I want to update my driver. Well, this is a brand new laptop.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense. Yeah. Cal?
Well, let me ask you this question. So you got this brand new laptop, right?
Yep.
Did you set it up when you got it, or did someone else set it up for you?
No, I did it.
Okay, and when you took it out...
You mean, like, turned it on?
Yeah, when you turned it on for the first time, and you set up Windows, and it says, hey, you want to set up an Outlook account? And then you said, yeah, and you made up, you know, I'm Joe Schmo at Outlook.com, and that sort of thing. And you went through that entire setup process. At the end of that process, it came up and said, you know something? We got a lot of patches and updates to load onto this thing, and it may take hours. Just wanted to let you know that it's going to be a lot, and you know, make sure you're not like on a dial-up connection where it's going to cost you a lot of money. Did you let that run?
No.
It
asks me quite often, or tells me that it's doing updates.
Yeah,
and quite often that's when it says I'm low on storage.
Well, that's not right. So,
no.
What is the manufacturer of this laptop? Is it a Dell, a Hewlett Packard, a Toshiba?
Oh,
HP. HP.
HP. Yes. Yeah.
Hewlett Packard. Okay.
Okay. Hold on.
Yep.
Hang on, Leslie. We're going to come back and see if we can tackle this, because you're right. A brand new computer should not be running out of storage when you're just simply setting it up. And we'll be back with Leslie in just a moment to answer her question and get some insight on that. But we also have a phone number here for you at 800-859-0957. Give us a call. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown here. You're co-producer and co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson. That's a whole bunch of people standing by, ready to help you with your problem on your computer, getting on the internet, getting around it, or sometimes, as we say, getting over it. Now, we are on an hour later than we have traditionally been on, and this will be the pattern for the spring and summer. And that is, we're on from 5 until 7 o'clock. So, you maybe just passing by and thought, well, wait a minute, what are you guys doing here now at this hour? We are going to be on until 7 o'clock right now with our open lines to answer your questions. And this has been, if you will, kind of the secret sauce of this program, is that we have been here to answer your questions, to kind of noodle through it with you, and hopefully, and we know from past experiences, as a matter of fact, helping to solve a whole lot of people's problems as you share your issue with us. So the number is 800-859-0957. Or another way of saying that is 800-859-0WJR. All right? And the only dumb question, as we've said so many times, is the one you don't ask. Get on and get some help. All right, let's go back out to Leslie. Leslie, welcome to the Internet Advisor again. Now, your problem was you have a brand new computer, a laptop. It's an HP, and it's running Windows 10, and you've only got Facebook on it. But every go ahead.
And it was preloaded with a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of things that, quite frankly, half of them, I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I know it's called bloatware. And for the rest of the people out there who
listen. And that's one of the reasons why they can offer computers at such a low price, is that the manufacturers pay Hewlett Packard a certain amount of money to put some of this bloatware on there to reduce the cost for you to purchase it at the store.
And what we, years ago, remember when C-Cleaner first came out? C-Cleaner was designed to get rid of what they called at the time inelegantly crapware, which is just bloatware. And C-Cleaner is still around. And it's a great tool to use to, you know, just to go into your computer and get rid of stuff that you don't want anymore.
Right.
Or stuff that isn't going to serve you. You know, you don't
What's
want.
What's it called again?
Well, C-Cleaner, but really that's, it's referring to, it doesn't uninstall unwanted programs. Maybe it used to, but right now it gets rid of temporary file, log files, and stuff like that.
Right.
And it has an excellent uninstall utility. So
that's
if the Windows uninstall utility doesn't work or is broken, there's an alternate way of using this uninstaller.
Right. Right.
But so the simplest thing to do is to go into your computer under My Computer and look at your hard drive. And when you right mouse click on what looks like your local disk drive or your C drive, when you right mouse click on that, you could select properties and a pie chart will be displayed of the total size of your computer, how much is free and how much is used.
Right. I've done that.
And
there's very little free.
Then I'm going to go with what Cal said and how long have you had this computer, but you might want to take it back to the store and say, you know, I just bought this computer from you. It's hopefully it's under 90 days. And can you explain to me where all my disk space is gone? Because I'm only installed Facebook. You know, unless you actually ran a utility to transfer files from your old computer to your new one.
Yeah, no, I have not done that.
Leslie, how big is the hard drive on this new computer?
It's not big. And again, I apologize. I'm in my car and I don't have it
okay
in front of me.
So, but do you remember offhand what it was like?
Was it 256, 500?
120.
Let me put it to you this way. When my son looked at it, he said his phone has more storage than this laptop.
So could this be, this is a hard drive, the hard drive is solid state.
Yeah.
And she's putting a lot of content on that instead of in the cloud. And that's not intended.
Yeah, and right? She may have like a,
does she have a Chromebook?
No, well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe
no,
she got
a Chrome. It's not a Chrome.
But it might be 128.
Yeah, a small drive,
right? And she filled it up with content instead of just the programs and put the content up into OneDrive or iCloud or
whatever. The only thing she put on there was Facebook.
Yeah.
And that really doesn't have a lot of storage.
So where do your photos go?
I don't even have any photos on it right now.
Yeah, she hasn't even gotten that far.
I have not loaded anything other than Facebook because it kept telling me that I was so low on storage, and it also kept asking me about updating.
And this
the
was
drive,
from the and this was from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I might want to take it back to the store that you purchased it from and say something's wrong with this. And then bring the box with you because on the box it's just say this computer comes with this size of hard drive, and I want to confirm that that's the size that's in here.
Right.
Because if someone returned the computer, they may have changed out the hard drive. Something went wrong and maybe it's partitioned improperly. I don't know.
That might be it as well.
Leslie, how big is the screen on this thing? Is this like an 11-inch screen?
It's like probably, I think it's only 14 or 15 inches.
Well, you should have a decent...
3 pounds.
Yeah, you should have a decent-sized hard drive on that thing. Doesn't make any sense that you would be filling up a drive at this particular point.
Just out of curiosity, did you buy it from Big Box Store or online?
From Walmart.
Really?
Well, so Walmart should be able
I would take it back and say, this is not performing properly. These are the reasons why. And either they can exchange you for another one or get your refund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Leslie.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
And before you return it to Walmart, because I'm not sure if your screen name, but you could actually tell the Windows to restore it back to its factory settings.
Yes,
by going into the control panel. I believe it's underneath the file history section, and you'll be able to restore it back as you know, just from the manufacturer. Yeah. That way, none of your data's on there.
I think she should just take it back. She shouldn't have got a funky machine in the first place. Right. She should get a good, clean machine to start with.
Right.
Yeah. She thought she got.
And she'll get one now. Right?
Yep.
She'll take one back, and Walmart will replace it.
Okay, Leslie. God, thank you very much. Sorry that you've had such a bad experience with that. The number again, 800-859-0957. And from the slowness of some of the calls coming in, I'm guessing that people are not quite used to the fact that we're on right now from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and that the time that's your program, that's when you can call in with your questions about your computer, about the internet, whatever it may be, This is the time between 6 and 7 o'clock, and this will be going on through the springer, and it'll be going on through summer, probably until about mid-August when the sports teams start coming back. But for that period of time, we should be regularly here from 5 until 7 o'clock. And then 6 to 7 o'clock is your time. That's the time when you can call in with at 800-859-0957. And we're going to be getting – Kelly, you want something?
Well, I just – I've been talking with Gary about some things with iPhones and stuff like that, and it just dawned on me that, you know, about 2 weeks ago they came out with iOS 10.3, and then in the past week – they've issued iOS 10.3.1, which had some bug fixes in it. And one of the things that the bug fixes were for is for Wi-Fi on some of the iOS devices, not on all the phones, but some of them and some of the other devices. So folks will want to download that update and apply it to their phones, along with there's a couple of
I've had a problem with that I want to ask you about, because it will not let me get it down because it says I don't have enough space.
That's right.
You need 1 point something gigabytes to
download. You sure do. So you know how you get around that?
How do you get around that?
Oh, it's a piece of cake. Rather than trying to do what you call an over-the-air update, that's when you just hold the phone up, connect the Wi-Fi, and download that update.
OTA.
If you don't have enough space on your phone to do an over-the-air update, connect the phone to your Mac or your PC, as long as it's running iTunes, and you do the update via iTunes. What happens in that particular case is the update gets downloaded onto the computer, and then the computer puts the update against to the phone as opposed to trying to have the phone. Because the phone wants to hold the old configuration in it until it finishes putting the new configuration. Okay. So if it craps out, it can roll back to it.
Can you say that?
Yes, I can. It can roll back.
Can you say that on TV?
if you happen to be doing a casino show, yes.
I've been having the problems, though, that when I do that, plug it into my computer.
Yes.
And it still says it can't do it.
Then you're not doing it right.
All right, then I got to
we got to figure that out next segment.
On this break, we will try to get it done. All right, folks, we have lots of folks calling in right now. That's excellent. We'll get back to start answering your questions. Steve in Ohio, we'll be back with you in just a moment after the break here at 800-859-0957. Thank you so much. We got a whole bunch of people standing by. Let's go right now to Steve from Ohio, who has a question for us. Steve, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. I bought a Carbonite about a year ago.
Oh, Carbonite's a backup software, okay.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Just bought a new computer, desktop.
Yep.
And the other one, hard drive, was making noises, so I thought I was getting dangerous, you know.
Yep, good, good idea.
That makes sense.
It did the Carbonite, and it really did files and documents and pictures and everything all by itself. Over a few days.
Oh, it restored your... Okay, good. Restored your data.
New computer. Mm-hmm. Which is why I thought I bought it. But then I couldn't find my Outlook address book and my Outlook files. And I had to call them a couple times, and they kind of guided me where to find them. But they're not allowed to actually... And we did a couple things where they did a remote where they took over my desktop.
Yeah, yeah.
Found them for me. I stumbled around, got it fixed. Now I'm struggling with the Chrome favorites.
Yeah, your browser favorites, okay.
Browser favorites, and I prefer Google Chrome.
Right, right.
I think I found them. The directions they sent me was a link, and it just said for Windows 10, start button, start menu, click File Explorer, and then navigate to the location of your current bookmarks, and that's what took me forever to find. Because it's not a very complete direction. If you're a fifth grader, you're probably in good shape. I'm more in your category.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Parent or grandparent of said fifth grader.
Oh, yes. And my grandkids are out of state, so they're no help. Next, drag and drop your restored bookmark file from the desktop into Windows File Explorer window. Well, when I finally found it, I assumed that I had to create an icon on the desktop, which I did. And to drag it and try to drop it into the Windows File Explorer window, I've done that twice, and there's still no
There's still no bookmarks.
Bookmarks. So I'm missing something.
Okay.
And again, they won't help me with that, and they're referring me to a for-fee service that they double up with.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Not why I thought I bought carbonite.
Yeah, I gotcha. I hear you. All right.
Now, I don't have the luxury of having a Windows 10 machine in front of me, but I think I know what you need to do. You found the file. Is that correct?
I think I did.
Okay.
Is it called bookmarks?
Yes, but there was more than one there, but the one I found was called bookmarks, yes.
So what you need to do is, once you found that file, is that you have to import those bookmarks back into your Chrome browser.
You know, that's probably the case, Cal, because, yes, you could take this file and drag it and drop it on the hidden file location in a Windows system of where it's at. But I like your technique better, where if you already have the bookmark file on your desktop or wherever, you've recovered it with Carbonite, you're right. You can use Chrome and say, import this bookmark file. So that's an excellent idea.
That would be the way I would do it.
So go to Chrome.
Yes.
Yeah, you would start up your Chrome application.
Okay.
And then within that application, if I'm not mistaken, you go to File, and then down that list you might see...
Well, there's no file. You hit the triple dots.
Oh, yeah.
The three dots, right.
The three dots, and you select Bookmarks. I have it on my computer right now. So. Oh. And then you hit the triple dot, select Bookmarks, and then there's a drop-down that says Import Bookmarks and Settings. And you should be able to then...
What's this triple dot thing?
It's on the top right-hand side, on the right-hand side of the address bar. There are three dots.
On the far right-hand side, on the top of the bar.
When I do Chrome, am I going to the browser Chrome?
Yes.
Okay. And a new tab?
No, on the far right of, you know, you should see the address bar where it says Chrome. But on the far right of that, you should see a star, a V, and maybe three dots.
No, blue star, and then an orange circle with a white arrow in it. Customize and control Google Chrome is, when I wave over it, that's what it pops up.
Okay, customizing and control Google Chrome.
Okay. That's the same thing I have.
You may have an older version.
Or a newer version. He's running Windows 10.
Oh, that's true.
Because I am running Windows 7. So, yes, click on that.
Okay.
And then you should see a bookmarks.
Got it.
And then you have import bookmarks and settings in that menu, drop-down menu.
Yes.
Okay.
Now what you can do is it's saying import from Microsoft Internet Explorer or a bookmark. There's a drop-down menu in the from line from a bookmark file.
Bookmarks HTML file?
Yes. And then you select the choose file button at the bottom, and then you navigate to where you've recovered that Carbonite bookmark from.
On your desktop.
Which is on your desktop. So you'd select desktop on the left-hand side. And, the way that they were trying to do it before, that just doesn't make sense. I like Cal's idea better.
You know, guys, whenever I've reinstalled Google Chrome, it requires me to enter my Gmail address as a password to get in, and as soon as I do that, voomp, it brings back my bookmarks.
That is also that's an excellent point, and I forgot about that. When you log into Google Chrome, if you were logged in before and not surfing anonymously, it does back them up to your Google account.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you have a Google account, Steve?
I think so.
Okay. Well, you know, I would almost suggest, guys, what do you think about this? Erase Google Chrome. Get it off your computer.
Or not even that.
Uninstall it.
Log in.
Uninstall it?
Well, here's my thought is uninstall it, download it again. When you download it, it should prompt you to...
You don't even have to do that. You can just go to that same area that you were at and go, you know, instead of going into bookmarks, you go into settings.
Okay.
And the very top line of Google Chrome settings is sign into Google.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
So sign into Google, and then what it should do at that point is, and this is why I've loved Google Chrome, is it saves all the bookmarks. And I don't have to bother putting them back in.
You could tell Google Chrome is not my preferred browser. Because both of you guys told me better ways of doing it than I probably would have figured out.
Okay, so take a crack at that, Steve, and let us know how it works for you, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much as well. All right. Thanks, Steve. Okay, let's...
I would have had better luck helping him navigate his Outlook personal folders.
Yes.
You know, settings. I know how to do that.
Well, no,
that's
good.
The back of my hand. Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, trust either Edge... When you get to Google Chrome, when you get the new Windows 10, either Edge. Gary, which one of you use? You're on a Surface.
I use Chrome.
You use Chrome.
Edge doesn't, you know, when it first came out, was kind of hobbled. So
yeah,
I stopped using it, and I haven't picked it back up because Chrome works for me.
I found it
and
works.
I use IE sometimes as well.
Yeah, okay.
As a second browser.
Yeah, when I use a Windows 10 machine, I actually use IE. I like it better.
Edge, Internet Explorer.
I had the same bad taste with Edge in the beginning.
I did too.
And every time I look at it, I'm edgy about it.
All right, let's go to Deb in St. Clair on that pun. Woo. Get the odor out of the room here. Hello, Deb. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, I've got a question about my iPad 2.
Okay.
And I don't know if you could tell me how to fix it or whether I scrap it and buy a new one, but it just randomly shuts off and goes to a black screen in the middle of an application, in the middle of a game, in the middle of email.
Mm-hmm.
It just crashes and goes black screen. And then after a couple of minutes, I hit home key and it comes back up to the regular icon page.
And is the battery fully charged during this time?
Yes.
Have you, let's see, it's an iPad 2. Does it have a camera on it?
Yes.
Mm. On the back and the front?
No, just on the back. It's older. It's a few years old.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So your highest level you can get on there is 9.3.5.
I think that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
because I brought it into the Apple store because I tried to download a large file in my mail, and it crashed both my Exchange and my Gmail. So they reset it back to factory, and I had to load everything back on. Now it's just randomly. It's, sometimes it'll run for an hour, sometimes it'll blank out in 2 minutes.
You know, I'm thinking this is a feature for some parents that want to get their kids off their iPad. I know it doesn't help you, but I'm just thinking, could I have used that a few times?
It
seems like a common problem because I Googled it, and it said to hold the power key and the home key until the Apple icon comes up.
Yeah, for a hard reset.
They're calling a hard boot.
Yeah, hard reset, yeah.
Yeah, I did that, and then what I've done is somebody told me to clear the cache, and somebody told me to clear the history, and it still does it.
I think you're just at the point where now, if you want to continue using an iPad, it's probably time to go out and buy a new one.
Yeah, it's really at its end of life.
First of all, this one's pretty much at the end of life. You can't update it anymore. And I think memory is getting to be a real issue with the new, more sophisticated programs you want to run on it.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks, Deb. Sorry we can't get more detail than that, but we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you so much for joining us now on our brand new time slot here for our listener questions, and that is from 6 until 7 o'clock, and the number is 800-859-0957. Thanks to Mike Stetz, our engineer, and to Logan Stedifer, our producer, who have been helping us to deal with some of the challenges we have behind the glass, as we say. Tim from Dundee, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you, sir?
Well, thank you. I've got a Windows 10 computer that I upgraded back when they offered it for free from a Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's a computer I made myself. Oh, and I want to reinstall it if possible because it just gives me various different problems. But whenever I look into it, it always seems to say that to reinstall it is going to wipe out all the programs that I have installed. And that I'd have to start that from scratch. Do you know if there's a way that I can reinstall Windows 10 on this computer without losing all of the programs that I've already installed on it?
Oh boy. System restore?
Well, no, not really. I mean, there is a way of... I'm trying to think of the term Microsoft uses. I think the short answer is no.
very short.
Yeah, very short. I don't think so. I thought you were going to go along the lines of whether or not if you reinstalled Windows, would you have to enter in the product key? And if you have a computer that was made that has the UEFI BIOS, which is a more modern version of the BIOS, the license is actually stored in the BIOS now. So you don't even
I found the Windows 10 license number. I can't remember how, but I'm sure I could do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. I download a product key utility that's out on the internet. Yeah. And then, yeah, I have it just in case. But I don't think so. I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
Never run as flawlessly as I've got a laptop that came with 10, and it works very, very well. But this one just seems to have some funky habits. Like, for example, if I want to take it out of sleep mode, it takes like 2 minutes. Just sits there in that little circle thing that spins, you know?
Yeah.
Those dots, they spin at super slow motion. Mm. And it just has... And then every now and then it freezes up and gives me that blue screen that says, oops, we have to reboot now. We're going to collect some, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, you know what I did with my wife's computer is I went to a store and bought I don't know how much disk drive space you have on. Is this a laptop or a desktop?
It's a desktop, but I've got more than enough disk space.
Okay. I was going to say I bought a solid state for my wife's laptop and was able to install Windows 10 cleanly on a solid state 500 gigabyte drive, and I think it was only a couple hundred dollars, and I was able to install it, and that computer ran so much faster. And but it was a laptop. You're talking, you have a desktop, you probably have a lot more disk space requirements.
Yeah, but if I was to get, like, let's say I was to get a solid space just to run Windows 10 on.
Yeah, and then you can use the other one.
Now, could I still run my programs off of my C drive?
Off the old C drive? No, because most programs install, then it's not like a Mac where it just installs it in, everything self-contained in a single folder as a package. It installs files all over the computer, and you have to have the original installation media. So it is really, there's a company out there that actually sells utilities that'll actually go out there and locate a program file and then recreate an install for you, but it's kind of pricey.
Can he do it this way? He wants to get more drive space. Is that what the issue is?
No, he's running slow, and he just wants to reinstall Windows 10 clean, but he doesn't want to lose all his program files.
Can he just ghost it somehow?
He could ghost it, but if he ghosts it to another computer,
all he is
hard
ghosting
drive,
the same problem.
Same problem.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's really a clean install is the way to go, and if you don't have the original installation media, you know, that you're sort of stuck.
I think I can reinstall it. I think I've got, like I said, the product key and those kind of things. I just didn't want to have to then go through the problem of, okay, I got to load every single program I've got, and I've got a lot of little specialized programs that I use for this and that, and it's just what a pain that would be, you know?
Yeah, but unfortunately, you're kind of stuck in this particular situation. What's more of a pain, the pain of the slow computer or the pain of doing the work that one time to make it
real? At this point in time, the slow computer's been the least of the least bad.
The lesser of the two evils.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You know, but what I've done, like I said, go out and buy another hard drive. They're dirt cheap, especially for if it's an EIDE. You could buy one.
You could buy a terabyte for about $50.
$50. Yeah. And you throw it in there. You can actually install a clean version of Windows 10 on there, pull out the old hard drive, set it on a shelf, and you can go back and forth later on. And it doesn't even have to be solid state. And once you get the operating system, you know, running cleanly, you know.
Is this an older computer?
It's probably, maybe 4 years old, 5 years old, something like that.
Buy it just a new CPU. The rest of it, it's, you know, he could reuse, and he could probably get that with Windows 10 on it.
He's still going to have to, and that's the problem, isn't...
Oh, he's going to have to reinstall, period. That's just the end of the game. I know it hurts, but you just got to do it. I mean, there's no other way to get around it.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it.
Sorry.
I used to do it four times a year on at least three different computers at my house.
I swear, if we had a magic wand, we'd give it to you, but it just isn't there.
And one of the upsides of reinstalling the programs is you'll get to go through the programs and decide which ones you really need and which ones you don't.
Because,
yeah. And
okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's a silver bullet here.
Yeah, I know it's not what you want to hear, but that's the reality of the game.
All right, Tim, sorry about that.
Appreciate you at least clearing it up for me. Thanks a bunch. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
Hey,
Thank you so much.
Hey, consider solid state. You want to talk about reviving a 4 or 5 year old computer? If you can afford a solid state in there, oh my goodness, it's so much faster.
All right, let's go to Jay. You have a question for us, Jay. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Yeah, before I get to that, I just have a bit of a possible advice for the last caller.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just wondering if there's two things come to mind. One is Windows updates. Sometimes the settings on there are such that it may download the updates but not install them. You might want to check and make sure he has the latest Windows updates and it's actually installing them. The other thing is it sounds almost like there's something using up a lot of his memory, or maybe he just doesn't have enough memory to start with. It could be some of the programs he's running that aren't necessary that are starting up at the beginning when he turns the computer on, and it could be possibly a virus or some malware that's using up his memory.
Those are all very, very good points. How can we help you? Because we're running out of time right now, and I want to make sure.
Oh, yeah, okay. Is anybody there familiar with computers from way back when? I have two PCs from the 80s, and they both still run. One's an XP, this one's an XT286. My bottom line problem is I want to get the stuff off of them before they crash, and you know there wasn't any USBs or any ports or anything on them.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you guys had any suggestions. If not, there's a couple things that if you've heard of any of them, maybe you could point me in the right direction.
Wow.
The best thing to do is to go out on eBay and see if you can find any IDE external enclosures. And for a hard drive, and then you would take out those hard drives.
Well, those hard drives are resistor-based RL drives. He's not even going to be able to use.
They're RL or MFM, which there's a wide ribbon on it that's wider than the floppies, and then there's a narrow one. I don't see any hope with that, but maybe you.
I tell you what, Jay, we're going to put you on hold, and we'll see if we can help you
offline. Nothing comes to mind immediately, yes.
Okay. Thanks, Jay, for your call. What'd you know, the last one?
Yeah.
Somebody wants to create... Yeah.
Well, if he has Windows 3.1 on there, you could put a network card in there.
All right.
with a 16-bit network card.
Thanks again so much to everybody who's made this program possible. Don't forget that we're on regularly now from 5 to 7 on Saturdays, and Sunday night you can... Get us at internetadvisor.net.